Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
I am great. How are you?
Fabulous. Isn't this good news?
So far, so good, huh? So far, so good. Yes. Yes. Yes, indeed. And I have to tell you, it's a high-level call management here for me. And as you know, it's a special show tonight. It's a continuation of the Really No Taboos workshop.
Yes. Yeah. I'm excited about that.
I'm excited about that also. And I have one announcement here first, and then if you want to say anything about the workshop before we get started.
I won't want to.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
The Summer of Sangha is starting soon. Our spiritual home at 4 Acres Zen Center in gorgeous Squim, Washington, will host week-long and weekend retreats in July and August, offering yoga, meditation, guidance, and workshops. In addition, it will be possible to accept the precepts with this practice during the summer offerings. Only a few slots are left, so sign up right away.
Well, that's so interesting to me because unless I'm really out of touch, I think there's only one place in a week long, and the only things that are available now are weekends. So that's, as far as I know.
All right. Thanks for the update. That's
great.
And a few reminders for tonight. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry about the Really No Taboos workshop, please press *6 and then 1 to get in the queue and make a show. And conversation on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is great.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Okay. Perfect. Yes. Exactly. Right. Okay, I think we're ready for our first caller here, Sherry.
Good. All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Catherine from St. Louis.
Well, hello, Catherine. What are
Hi.
You seeing?
Well, the taboo was what I couldn't talk about was my confusion over the teachings, that I thought there were teachings that were contradictory. And, and I couldn't bring that up because I would look and feel stupid. And what I'm seeing about the payoff for ego was that I would get up in my head trying to figure out what things meant and how to do things right and what was really actually being taught, and it was stopping me from being here and being
which is the most important point for egocentric karmic conditioning, so hey, right?
Absolutely. Yep. And it's interesting because the contradict what I was confused about was the teaching around, well, we all have one person to save, but there is no self. So what am I saving?
There's no separate self.
There's no separate self. Oh, okay. All right.
And we're confused to be safe.
Yeah.
Now, so there, that speaks to the specifics of it. And in a larger, just going forward, first of all, please always be eager to appear to be stupid. It's the fastest way for us to get past ego, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Because what do we care if the voice, I'm never going to call you stupid. Ashwini isn't, any other facilitator isn't.
So, right.
So, you know, so only the voice in your head is ever going to say anything like that. And what do we care what that voice says? We know what it's up to. But the thing about contradiction is, one of the things I learned early on in Zen practice is, if you run into a spiritual teacher who is consistent, get away from them.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, because what is so in one moment might not be so in the next moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, conditioned mind, that wants to figure everything out and then nail it down. So that, okay, I've got that. Yeah. Well, but by the time we figure it out and get it, first of all, we've probably missed the point. And if we didn't, that moment has passed. So now we're in a whole new world. And that's what we're learning in awareness practice, to be in this whole new world, not consulting conditioned mind about an imaginary past and an imaginary
mm-hmm.
future.
Well, what's so interesting was, well, it's not interesting, well, maybe it's interesting, but it's not surprising, that my confusion or ego, you know, bamboozling me, accomplished was that I was never I wasn't with myself. So there was this concern about saving the person and the self and, you know, up into that kind of conversation and not...
Yes, exactly.
With, not here with her.
Beautiful. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yes. Which, again, was the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole goal. Just
yeah.
stay in conversation about, well, what does that mean? I don't understand, because here it says it saved the self, and here it says there is no self. Then how could that be? And so, of course, if you had brought that up, one of the things you would find out is just about everybody's confused about that. If they're not confused currently, it's because they were confused previously and they got clear about it, or they haven't gotten to the point of wondering about it yet. Yeah, but we only find that out if we bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the voice in the head says, oh, God, don't bring that up. Don't bring that up. They're going to think you're an idiot. And, you know, everybody else knows. You're the only one who doesn't know. And then you get to stay stuck there, and you don't get to be with her, as you say. You don't get to save that very lovely, precious human incarnation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm awfully glad I brought this up.
And me too.
And I love the workshop, and I hope we do it again. And thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Well,
and
I'll talk
about everything from now on.
Everything. Keep no secret. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All
thank
right.
you.
Catherine.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. And we have another caller here, Sherry. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Margaret in Menlo Park.
Hey, Margaret. What are you seeing?
Hey. Well, it seems somewhat similar in how it's going to work out to what was just shared, but the content's a little different, which is that it feels like for... years and years, I go through these periods of getting talked out of sitting, not doing a formal sitting practice,
mm-hmm.
and not just not being willing to ask for guidance about that, and
yes.
I know it's because this is conditioning's program to keep me from practice. And
yep.
from what, you know, on the other hand, I know that I love from experience of it, you know, of sitting in.
Once again, Margaret, that's the point.
Yeah.
So we don't need to get stuck in, now, why do I fall for that when I love practice so much? Because you love practice so much. If you hated practice but believed it was something you really should do, then those voices would be all over you. Trying to make you do it and then talk you into not doing it because you hate it so much. It'd be a whole different conversation. But always the aim on the part of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is get the human distracted in a conversation away from themselves, away from the present, and make them suffer. Get all the attention.
Yeah, that certainly has, yeah, been the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so shall we attack it?
Yeah, let's attack it.
Yeah. So, of course, one of the programs that we have that is very, very helpful is the Commitment Buddy program.
Right.
So that, yeah, so we commit to something, and then we use kind of what the previous caller was talking about, which is the perceived public humiliation, right? So very mm-hmm. often people will show up, no matter what the resistance is, just because they don't want this unknown stranger to think poorly of them or be disappointed or whatever is projected. And we don't care, right? It works. So there's and then there is reaching out to practice. So I think those programs go every quarter. So you know, you can get in that program like that, and you have one thing. I'm going to sit formally every day. Now, does it really matter? No. It could be anything. Anything, but this is the issue you're working with now. So it could be taking out the trash from the bathroom. It could be making sure the car is parked right in the garage. It doesn't matter. The point is to prove to ourselves that we can and will stick with something. If it's mm-hmm. sitting practice, there's the extra added benefit of you're going to personally get a lot more out of sitting formally than taking the trash out of the bathroom, right? It lasts longer, right? You have to pay attention longer.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But then, so that's once a quarter, right? So that's great. For 3 months, it grits its little imaginary teeth, and you stick with it for 3 months, and then it's going, oh, God, I've got her now. The program is over. So if you're not careful, you're going to get talked out of recommitting to the program for the next 3 months. And so you set a backup system, right? So you ask for support on that day to remind you, to help you sign up for the next go-round.
Right. You mean just sign up again?
Yep.
Which is fine. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you know you're vulnerable there. Because you just completed the program, you were successful. Now, in order to stay in this loop that so feeds ego, you have to be talked out of signing up for the next 3 months, right?
Mm.
And so it all you have to do is be distracted enough to miss the deadline and then get talked into, well, I can't ask. The deadline is already passed. I'm sure we don't, right? And then it's got you for the next 3 months. Now you're really on your own to try to come up with the willingness to do this thing that it is devoted, ego is devoted to keeping you from doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's important to bring in all of the reinforcements that we have, because what we've been taught to believe, of course, is if you are the right person, none of this would be required. Well, that's hogwash. We're all the right person, and it is required. You should be able to do this on your own. Nobody can do it on their own. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All of that stuff is just hogwash.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So here it is, Margaret. I mean, you were one of those people standing on the front porch of the Zen Center, I think, that I was referring to recently. So you've been around this practice for decades, right? So, mm-hmm. You realize a month into the Commitment Buddies thing that you've really blown it because you missed the deadline, got bamboozled, and let me know, okay?
Okay. We'll come up with another plan.
That's exactly That is exactly
Thank
right.
Thank you.
So it's part of the, you know, saving the human being. If you were drowning and the voice in your head said, oh, well, you can't really bother anybody. You know, you should be able to swim well enough to get out of this. And everybody's busy and they're doing something. And if you were the right person, you wouldn't have fallen into this. Yeah, you'd be dead. So yeah. Under those circumstances, we'd just be screaming help with whatever breath we had in us, right? Flailing around as best we could. We want to do that with practice too, especially with practice.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Anytime.
All right.
Now, don't forget. And the other thing, Margaret, here's the other thing. You know, again, we've probably talked about this any number of times just because I talk about it all the time. But, you know, having a paper calendar that mm-hmm. you write on ahead, so in big red letters at the first of every month, where am I? Is my sitting practice solid? Do I have all the support I need? And at the first of the month, you see that and you look at it and go, and there's the commitment, right? You say, okay, I'm going to put my support systems in place. If you don't do it, then have another note on the 5th of the month and another one on the 15th of the month, right? So that mm-hmm. So that you're really giving yourself all of that support, too, to reach out and get whatever it is that you need.
Yes. Yes, okay.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah, it is good because I think we're close to, in the near future here, signing up for that program. So,
oh, good. Oh, the time is right. Very good, very good. Yeah, it's such an excellent program. It's so good. And you know what it tells us is how simple all of this is when we have the support we need. You know, just a simple text in one direction, a simple text in the other direction, and we have the support that we need. Yeah, it's not a big, hairy deal.
I know. It's amazing. I've been through it before.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Yeah. Yeah. It's extraordinary.
It's
work.
It is.
Yeah. And people will be told, well, okay, but you should be over that now. No. No.
Yeah.
I need every quarter for the rest of my life, thanks, because I don't and I don't trust it with myself.
I'm not taking any chances.
That's right. I'm not taking exactly. Stakes are too
yeah.
high. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks,
All
Margaret.
Right. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Margaret. And Sherry, we are going to go to Good News Update, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
Sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome. And Jen, I'm turning it over to you for a good news update.
All right. Thanks, Michael. And I'm pleased to be joined by Tony, who is here to speak with us, speaking of commitments, to talk about a commitment that she made last summer at the Summer of Sangha. Welcome, Tony.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you.
Good intro to our conversation, huh?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So, yeah, tell us a little bit about what inspired your commitment and what you've seen as you've gone through it over the last year.
I will. So it all started because I spent 5 glorious weeks at the 4 Acres Zen Center, and phenomenal, just one of the, I would keep saying it's the best 5 weeks of my life. It was just really so so great, so much support, fun. It was fun. And I, you know, and people there know I didn't want, I mean, it's hard to leave because I just, you know, enjoyed it all so much. So then I came home, it was just maybe a couple of days before the last day. So I was very motivated and eager to just keep it going. So I, luckily, gratefully, all the groups are recorded, which was fabulous.
Yeah.
So I listened to the last couple of days, the groups that went on, and they're the one on August 13th. I went back to listen to see which one it was. It was just really deep, and it was so good. I have like a whole page of notes, and if I could, I would just read them. I won't, but you know, it's like I just want to read.
Well, yes. Because there's so much in it, right, Tony? Thank you for doing that, by the way, that recording, because I think those recordings were made available to everyone, the Summer of Sangha recording, from 2023. So August, did you say 13th?
August 13th, yes.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
And so, tell us a little bit about what you heard in that recording that inspired the commitment.
Well, so there's several questions. Sherry presented several questions, and so I went through and wrote down answers to all those questions, and then said my favorite part was all the things she said at the end, and I might say more about that. But then I did the whole thing again, like a couple of days after doing it the first time. And in there, one of the things she said, and this is how I kind of put it in my phone as a reminder, is what are you willing to do to actually be what's going to make the difference for that person?
Well, it's very much what we've already talked about this evening, isn't it? What are you willing to do to be the difference for that person?
Yes. And it just, that question just stopped me. This really, and every time I would see it on my phone, every time I would say it, it just makes me stop. And I don't know, something about it. It's just so big. I know we are thinking about the part about doing. It's not like a doing, like, you know, getting stuff done kind of doing. It's another way maybe to say it is, you know, how am I going to act and take care of this human being that right now?
How am I going to what, Tony? You flipped out for just one sec.
How am I going to advocate and take care
of
this human being in this moment?
Yeah. You know, and it's very much... It's funny that you say that, that you were looking at the doing part, because I was really seeing how it's a parallel to what we're practicing this week in the year-long retreat assignment. Because that question, I project that you said every time you just say that question, it takes you somewhere. And it's very clarifying, right? Because it shows us, it brings us right to what's essential. Cuts right through all the this and that, and what about this, and oh, God, that. But that question of what are you willing to do in order to be the difference for this person, it brings us to brings us to practice, right? Because that's going to be the answer, right? It's to be here.
Because I will consider, like, okay, we're talking about making a difference for this person.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a choice between a couple of things, you know, this happened the other night because this was all on my mind. Well, if I go ahead and record this week's assignment, that's going to make a difference for the rest of the weekend and then on, you know, of things I could do. That will make a difference. Mm-hmm. And help me be how I want to be.
You know what else is brilliant about that, Tony, is that the piece about for her, meaning, you know, again, that the one precious life we have to save. So it really makes it clear that it's not something you should do, right? Which is very different. That's, you know, okay, what now life, right? And so it's like, oh, I should probably record the assignment. But from the attitude of mind that you're coming from, you realize, I want to record the assignment because it supports her. That's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very supportive in that way, too.
Yes. And I was so helpful, like even this morning, because I had made all these notes. And, oh, even when I was thinking about being on Good News Update, I was like, I don't know what to say. I don't know. Who am I? I mean, you know, it's all this. And then I thought, well, what am I going to, what can I do in order to be what will make the difference for this person? And it dropped in, find that workshop and re-listen to it. And it has been so great. I mean, it has been such a workshop, just going back through doing it again, and those all the things that Sherry says at the end, it's like I got it on a little bit deeper level, and it's made it, kind of strengthened my ability to be the witness or the mentor to really stand up for this human being and take care of her.
There's so much, Tony, about it. That's such a great example of it. So you're going to be on Good News Update. The voice starts in with, oh, the blah, blah, blah that it's going to say to you that will get you, basically, to look to conditioned mind. Well, I better figure out what to say in order to be whatever, the good, right person, to look good, to, you know, whatever it's going to say there. And instead, you go to the question. And again, it's a process that brings you to what's going to make the difference. And so it drops in, right? Listen to the workshop again. And in that listening to the workshop again, not only do you, you know, is that a direction for you to talk about on the call, but there's so much benefit to you in the process to that.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. It's been so good. Even this morning, sometimes struggle with getting up in the morning. And so there was this pull to go back to sleep. And but I had all these notes right in front of me. And I was like, I know if I don't go back to sleep, have a nice, spacious practice morning, I will feel so good all day. Mm. But it was a bit of a, not a battle, but it was a workshop, I guess.
There you go.
I kept looking at all these questions, because in there, there's also a line about, you know, the person is never going to get there. That you know, the witness, the consciousness is going to support and guide and all of that. So I said, okay, what's going to make the difference? What can I do in order to be what will make the difference in this situation, in this moment? And so I just recorded and recorded and recorded, looked at all these notes, and it's like I had to, you know, kind of pulling the attention away from the suffering person who wanted to go back to sleep. It's like, she's not going to be the one to save me in this situation. I need to be the mentor, the observer, the wise, wisdom, love, and compassion. I need to be that in order to save her from suffering. And so it really paid off this morning.
Boy, yeah, well, I'll say. And Tony, before I let you go, say, because it's so, again, so relevant to the conversations we've already had this evening, say more about so that was a year ago. How is this still with you? How were you able to keep this alive?
Well, I put it in my phone as a commitment, and so at 11 a.m. every day, this my phone goes off, and there's the words right there, you know, what are you willing to do in order to be what will make the difference for that person? So it shows up, and there's some days I don't stop and record. Many days I do, and I even put the where it is on my recorder, you know, which file, number, so that
perfect.
I can go, because there's no like, where is that? Commitment buddies, I've been doing commitment buddies since day one, and every quarter, it's just been to do two-handed recording. I do a two-handed recording and listening practice first thing, so that was part of this morning too, and so that is just a big part of it.
Well, there it is. I mean, you set up the support. You run into it every single day. It's right there in front of you every single day. And the piece that Ashwini is always pointing at, I project there's so much, and you know what's supportive to Tony, right? The details of that. You know there's going to be the numbers that recording. So right there, in the alarm goes off. The question is right there in the alarm and the pointer to where to find the recording. It's just there's so many helpful clues in all of that for all of us, and I can't thank you enough for coming forward today to talk about all of it. It's very, very inspiring.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it because it's been great for me to be looking at it again and, you know, just kind of talking about it. So thank you so much, Jen.
Thank you, Tony. Go happy.
Go happy.
And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Tony, and thank you, Jen. And welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, I'm going to practice restraint because
I know, Michael.
Required.
Me too. I mean, I can just feel, you know, I'm just on the edge of my seat here, just ready to launch. But yeah, that talk about inspiring and talk about a recipe for ending suffering. There it is.
Yeah. Fabulous. All right, and we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Carly from Philadelphia.
Well, hello, Carly. Okay. Good to see you.
Hi. I was looking at sort of the umbrella of neurodivergence and how that's affected many areas of my life, but mostly under the lens of sexuality, because that's sort of been the most emotionally charged. So it's sort of been the experience of having like a hyper-connected brain and making connections in seemingly unrelated areas, while also processing things differently and having some hypersensitivities to certain things. And after the workshop, I just had to laugh because I realized that the same system that has driven me to a place of obsessing over this and trying to figure it all out for many years is the exact same system that made it a problem in the first place.
Oh, Carly. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. Yes, go ahead.
And yeah, and not to trivialize the experience in any way, but I just saw very clearly that the entire ordeal of it was just a conversation in my head. And the only problem in it, and of course that's in air quotes, but the only problem was in the ego interpretation, you know, all the inner chatter about it and what it means about me. And of course, usually that boils down to, you know, there's something wrong with you.
Well, a lot. Not just something, but a lot wrong.
Right.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me say I'm so incredibly happy for you because that's the key to the prison cell. Right, that and it's on the inside. You have the key and the lock is on the So because now with that perspective, you can do what everybody has to do, right? Which is, okay, this is what I've got. This is how I am. This is how I'm constructed. This is the karma. This is the conditioning. This is everything that happened to me. This is the beliefs and assumptions. These are the projections. Okay, now we need to begin deconstructing all of that because not believing any longer that any of it means there's something wrong with me. All it means is being tricked into, which we all were, tricked into buying into all of that. We suffered unnecessarily. And now you have the opportunity to let that person out of that suffering.
Yes, absolutely.
And in fact, beyond letting her out of the suffering, really moving into a place of being able to celebrate exactly how she is. That all, and this is not, you know, just blah, 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 but really realizing the what have been labeled detriments are really gifts. And when you begin to open to how those can be used for good, for your well-being and the well-being of all that is, then it's going to get really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen this pattern occur throughout my life. So I might have a certain fixation on the idea of something rather than the reality of the experience. So, you know, on one side of that duality, it might be like the fantasizing about it and the perfectionism. But of course, on the other side is all of the fear and anxiety and catastrophizing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, oddly enough, it's like sometimes I want to be perceived as that person. I want to be associated with it. And then other times I'm told, like, no, that's actually humiliating and no one can know this. And I think just seeing through that duality and finding sort of more of a middle way
absolutely.
In all of that is actually unnecessary has been really helpful.
Yes. And of course what you presented there was two dualities, right? So on the one hand there's the fantasizing, you know, other side of it, I guess that's where the catastrophizing goes. And mm-hmm. so it's that and recognizing that. And then the next duality is, oh, you shouldn't be that way. Oh, yeah, but I really want to be that way. So then we have another duality. And what we begin to catch on to is those are unlimited, right? We just every time we step back, we realize, whoop, stepped into another duality. And then we get to the place of being fascinated by that process. Because, of course, mm-hmm. in what you described, you're seeing it all. So you know you are not any of those. You are what's able to see it all. You're the awareness that's watching it all. And that's what that's the other one, that it feels like a duality, but it actually isn't. Where I identify with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, I step back into awareness. I identify with it, I step out, and I can see it. It's not actually a duality, even though when we talk about it, it looks that way. Right? And so just catching on to that, again, that's where, you know, that's where the compassion for the human being comes in. Because you can see how she suffered with all of this stuff. And now you're in a position to be able to say, hey, it's okay. It's all okay. And then to, as we've been talking about this evening even, move into a position of being able to be the wisdom, love, and compassion for that human being that she's always been looking for. And as the old song says, looking for love in all the wrong places, right? Looking for acceptance and comfort and ease and caring from a system that is devoted to keeping her in a place of suffering.
And I think when I thought about, you know, bringing this specific piece of content into practice, I can see how ego was very insistent on not letting that happen, precisely because that would be an ego death, you know, and how big the stakes felt and how significant this has been.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of all of that, just, you know, as you're saying, being able to even see the opportunity to redirecting my attention to how I want to be with it,
yes.
Which is, of course, is, you know, regardless of the content, I think the answer to that is always the same, you know, which is choosing unconditional love. So,
yes, exactly so.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Carly, how much you know about me, but, you know, we pretty much live the same life story. And And I can promise you, well, I can't promise you any, well, it could, but anyway, one of the things that I am most grateful for in life is, this can sound judgmental, but it's not at all, said with great affection, how messed up I've been all of my life. Because, you know, there's just not a human experience that I can't have understanding and sympathy for. Because I'm all of that.
Yeah.
And or worse, which is however you want to frame it. Right? So, yeah. In the acceptance, really is such an opportunity for kindness for yourself and for every other human being.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that too when I listen to the show. I you know, even if I can't necessarily always relate to the specifics of someone's piece of content, I can understand what would bring a human being to that place.
Precisely. So
I can recognize their humanity regardless.
Yes. Well, you're recognizing their process, right? The content, maybe not so much. But the process, oh, we can get there so quickly. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'm happy for you.
Yes, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for joining us, Carly. And wow, Sherry, wow. And I'm going to restrain again and move on.
Good, aren't we? Oh.
And move on to our next caller here.
All right.
All right. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jennifer from Whidbey Island, Washington.
Well, hello, Jennifer.
Hello. During the taboo workshop, my taboo was only a taboo with this sangha, nowhere else.
Oh.
And very specific to this sangha, and that is that I'm not a vegetarian. And what I know. Don't tell Sherry.
Every night, just worrying about the fact that you're not a vegetarian.
Mm-hmm. I figured you were. The thing I noticed about it was that the fear was being thrown out and rejected. You know, I cannot actually fully participate with this particular sangha because I'm not a vegetarian, and that will be a limiting factor. And I realized that would be the back door that you were talking about during the workshop.
That's exactly, oh, you nailed it in one. That's exactly it. Ego is not at all concerned that you're going to be thrown out. What ego is concerned about is you might turn attention to this subject. You might begin to practice with it. You might make a different choice. And then what would it torture you over, and how would it keep you out of fully committing to your awareness practice?
Right, yeah. Right. And that was... It is devious, and the story was, you know, I'll be thrown out and I'll be separate and thrown out, rejected, separate, thrown out. And then it was like, but wait a minute, this is keeping me separate. Having this secret is keeping me separate.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And again, that's the whole point. You know, Ashwini often talks about how the answer is right there in the thing. But it's hidden. It's camouflaged in such a way that it can use all the language. It can talk to us exactly about what's going on, and we think we're talking about something else. So it can just keep you isolated and separate and not belonging. All the time out of fear, separate and isolated and not belonging. Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's what a secret is, really.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A secret is something that exists between ego and ego that holds me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Woo!
Yes.
Good job.
Woo!
Good job.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, now we know, Jennifer. And
Now we know.
This is one where, you know, you do the thumbs in the ears and wiggle your fingers. Take that, ego. What's the threat now? Now what?
Yeah. We'll see what's next.
That's right. Come up with something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we know, increasingly, we know how to handle it, whatever it comes up with. We know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Blow it out of the water is what you do.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you for that opportunity. All right.
All right. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Jennifer. And I have our next caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Jeff in North Carolina.
Oh, hello, Jeff.
Hey. Well, I just before I get into the what I want to bring up, just briefly, I just want to just say a huge thank you for this workshop. And I was just seeing something early in the call to see if it comes back, but I just appreciate how all this was framed in the workshop. At one point you were saying something about in one of the guided imageries about what we're basically being talked into not talking about with our sangha, with the people that we practice with.
Right.
And it just reframed it. Environment of safety and togetherness and intimacy, you know, not personality intimacy, but you know, that a place of, I don't know how to say it other than that, but,
Jeff, the thing about it, what makes it so is it's not the content. Right. It's just as our last caller was, that was so perfect because it's not the what of it. It's how egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate uses the what to isolate us, to keep us in a conversation about how we are different and we don't belong and that. So whether it's, I actually sell cocaine on the side, that's my side gig, or it's that I actually don't say the daily recollection during the morning virtual sit. It doesn't matter what the content of it is. The only thing that matters is that we buy into a relationship with ego that gives it the power over us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because the judgment is coming from self-hate internally,
even though
it's being projected outward.
That's
and
right.
It's what we'll believe, right? If this is the story that I will believe, might be not the same story that somebody else believes, but this is the one I'm believing, and I keep believing it because I don't bring it up.
That's right. And so, again, like the last conversation, as long as it's a secret, then it has me to itself. Now, the interesting thing that Jennifer said about it is that it's only with this sangha. And that's another real clue for us, because there are many things that, in fact, I was just talking to somebody day before yesterday who is in an AA program, and we were talking about somebody else, and that it came up that the thing about this other person that we couldn't talk about is the fact I mean, it didn't take a genius to dope it out, that the other person is in AA. Okay? Mm-hmm. So that they know that. They talk about that with all kinds of people, right? But not certain people.
Mm-hmm.
So when that kind of thing gets established, then it's really good because it becomes a social contract. So you and I, because, you know, we both have a side gig of selling cocaine, so we can get together, we can talk about that, and, you know, how's business and that sort of thing, but we're certainly not going to talk about that with him because he's a police officer, or with her because she's an elementary school teacher, or with them because, yeah. And so we get to enjoy this thing in terms of ego maintenance, and it has then the extra benefit of isolating us from other people, being different and special. So it's got a lot of different elements to it that it really benefits ego.
Mm. Wow, that's pretty interesting. I'm going to have to re-listen to this and look at some of that because I don't think I'm getting it at the level that you're talking about. But, may I bring up this subject here?
Well, I know what the subject is because you've brought it up before here.
No, actually, it's not that subject.
Oh, well, very good. Then yes, please.
Okay. So this subject is the one that occurred to me to bring up in the No Taboos workshop is about I have a lot of whatever fear, concern going on about this election.
Uh-huh.
And what may happen, you know, in the story in my mind as a result, you know. I don't need to go deep into the story, but, you know, will there still be a democracy in this country? What, you know, what's going to happen related to climate change? On and on, just all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point of that, you know, there are fantasies about doing something drastic, which I'm not planning to do, to prevent it. What's that?
Eliminating some of the causes.
right. You know, and then there are other stories that, more believable, but, you know, how I'm going to write speeches for the candidate I want or, you know, write advertisements for, you know, commercials and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It was surprisingly emotional for me during some of the guided imageries. I don't know what it felt like was how much I care about, what happens and how I feel like it, you know, will affect people, the planet and so on. Again, it's all, these are, you know, the stories in my head about it. Anyway, I don't know that I really need to say a lot more about it, but I think that, you know, kind of paints a picture. There's just, you know, there's very definitely being so attached to an outcome and very definitely not wanting another kind of outcome. And you know, it's feeling very real. And so it's like other things are easier to go, oh, yeah, I see that, you know, I can let go of that because whatever. But this one, it feels really, it has felt really hard for me to say, okay, yeah, I can, you know, I mean, I get there sometimes to be okay with, you know, yeah, whatever happens, you know, but a lot of the time I'm not okay with whatever happens. So yeah. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Well, and it, you know, was what we were, I was just talking about a few minutes ago about the social contract. That's a huge one for so many people. There's another word that I want for it, but it's escaping me right now. But it's it's a connecting factor. You know, all of us who see it this way versus all of them who see it that way, and then all of them who see it that way, seeing all of the, you know, that sort of thing. But you have access to something that a lot of people don't have access to, and that is the NeuroCall from, I think it was last Friday, and it could have even been the Friday before, where I did a major rant on this subject. Shall I just give you the kind of bottom line?
Yeah. And then I'll go back and listen to that.
And this is, you know, then people can maybe continue the conversation if they want to. But that this election is one where those of us who haven't had to face any of the issues that we've been actually kind of perfectly fine that everybody else was facing, where we could. So how much do we care about democracy and how much do we care about our way of being in the world, our level of comfort and ease and privilege, and that's going to go away and we're going to be facing a lot of the things that the people, those other people have been facing right along. And so people get very desperate about that, and we like to be kind of to make it sound like something slightly less self-serving, but I would bet when right down to it, they're really worried about being the minority and having the privilege taken away and having to face the kinds of issues that that privileged people in this country have never had to face. So, you know, we can worry about the climate, those of us who have air conditioning and in our houses and in our cars and in our workplaces, and we can worry about pollution and we can worry about all of these other things that are going to get worse. But if you lived in a lot of the neighborhoods in this very country, you've been facing that for a long time. You haven't had decent water to drink forever. Yeah. So maybe just when that person gets very upset about those things, to sort of bring that in. And then if it goes the way you hope it goes, not to forget the importance of carrying through in such a way that everybody's included in that privilege, not just those of us who have always had it. Time for us privilege type. Really share the wealth, not just amass more for our own, in quote, safety and security.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I see we're about the top of the hour, and there's so much more to talk about in that. But thank you so much. There'll be a lot to look at and to listen to this call.
Good.
Wow.
And maybe we can continue the conversation. People have asked for that. You know, can we do a workshop on what's happening with politics and that sort of thing? I almost can't trust myself, though, because I'm actually so passionate about what it is, how we're looking at this. And for most of us, I confess, you know, I can sympathize, but how self-serving really is for us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jeff and Sherry. Wow, at the top of the hour, and that was an incredible show.
It was. Let's get together again, shall we?
Let's do it again. So big thank you to you, Sherry, and to the workshop and everybody who is here a part of it. It's great.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you, Michael. Go
happy. Thank you. Go happy.